Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Now, if in the county or town or whatever, wherever you live, there was a judge, and someone had come and burglarized your house, murdered someone in your family, and just destroyed everything that you had. And then the law went out and apprehended him and brought him before the judge. And then the judge said, well, I don't find any fault with this man, and set him free. We wouldn't be very happy with that judge, would we? We'd be rather... And then on the other hand, if there was a just man who lived and someone come and put all that blame on him, and the judge went along with that, we wouldn't be very happy with him either, in either case. So, how can God deal with us sinners? That's what we are. And reconcile us to himself as though we were perfectly righteous persons. God is holy, just, and true. He will not pardon evildoers or iniquity. But then on the other hand, as Brother Jerry read to us a minute ago, he justifies the ungodly. How can he do that? Well, this is an old story, and it's an old question. Turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 29, or chapter 25. Job 25. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Now, I'm certainly thankful for that God has made peace in his high places by appointing a covenant head and choosing all of his children in that covenant head and putting them in him from everlasting for their preservation, to reserve them from perishing. Dominion and fear are with him, and he maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light shine? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man that is a worm? Now look back at Job chapter 15. And let's begin reading at verse 12. Why doth thine heart carry thee away, and what do thy eyes wink at, that thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth? What is man, that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous? Behold, he, that is God, putteth not trust in his saints, that is his angels. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man that drinketh iniquity like water? Now, is that true of us? Do we drink iniquity like water? Yes, we do. We are sinners, dyed in the wool. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. We've all gone out of the way. We're all selfish. We do things for ourselves first and foremost. And there's none good in His sight. And yet, God has found a way to treat us better than His angels. Even better than His elect angels. Because we're sons and they're servants. We are the sons of the living God. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. My, my. That we, sinners as we are, will be arrayed and dressed in the garments, in the perfect garments that were purchased for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have on the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness, and we will enter into the earned glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how can God be just and justify our God, justify the ungodly? Well, He did it like this. By putting all of those whom He chose in Christ before the foundation of the world, those whom He had loved with an everlasting love, according to Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord has said unto me, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore by loving kindness have I drawn thee. He put all of those people together and put them in our Lord Jesus Christ. He separated us, Jude, let me just turn over there and read that in Jude 1:1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, how long have we been in the Lord Jesus Christ? We were sanctified in the decree of election before the foundation of the world. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and He put us in Jesus Christ for safekeeping. And there's where we have been in the mind and will of God from everlasting. And we were in Him when He walked on this earth and fulfilled the law to the jot and tittle. We were in Him when He died at Calvary, when He paid the last farthing of the debt that He owed as the surety of the New Testament.
Yes.
He owed that debt. We made the debt. He owed the debt. We made the debt in Adam when we sinned in Adam. And we made the debt in every evil thought, every evil action, every evil word, every evil thing that we have ever done. And there's been lots of them that we have done because we're evil in our nature. We just acted according to what we are by nature, evil beings. And we racked up a multitude of sins and damnable actions that should have put us in a devil's hell if those things had been charged to us. But they weren't. Bless the Lord, they were never, never charged to us. They were charged to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He suffered and bled and died under the vengeance and wrath of Almighty God to put away our sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the surety of the New Testament, died in the room instead of all that the Father had given him from eternity past. Well, what did they do to deserve that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It is unqualified grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our Lord Jesus Christ suffered all the vengeance of the wrath of God for his people, and he was made a curse for us who knew no sin. Christ hath redeemed us. He got the job done. He hath bought us. He's purchased us. He has ransomed us. And we owe absolutely nothing in the way of payment to the justice of God. Nothing. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. If you're a believer, if God has enabled you to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe his gospel, that God has put away a multitude of sins by the death of his Son, if you're able to believe that God did that, raised him from the dead, that he is the Son of God, God won't impute sin to you. This is my covenant with them, the day when I shall put away their sins. That's Romans 11. Look at Hebrews chapter Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 7 said, if the first covenant had been faultless. Now there was a fault with the first covenant. That's the covenant of works. And the fault was that it could not justify the people of God. You know, the law cannot give you a new heart. And you've got to have a new heart, because your old heart is broke spiritually. It's hard and stony, and it will not admit of the writing of God upon it. God has to give you a new heart, but the law can't do that for you. The law only can only condemn you to death. That was the fault of the law. It can only bring death. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Well, who sought a place for a second? The Lord did. When did he do that? In eternity past. He knew that we couldn't stand under the law. But he appointed the law to shut our mouth and bring us guilty before God and cause us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for all of our righteousness. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, spirit, that is spiritually calling his church the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not that robs them of all the promises. It doesn't. But it is applying those promises to the Israel of God. Galatians 6:16. And in Isaiah's prophecy, he said, let me turn to that and read it. It's in Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45, let me find that. Verse 17, Isaiah 45:17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Well, we are that Israel. He is a Jew that's one inwardly. And then look at verse 25. In the Lord Jesus Christ, as members of his body, and as the branches are in a vine, at union with him, in the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and in the Lord we are justified from all things that we could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, back to Hebrews 8:9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not. Separation. Your sins have separated between you and your God. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now there are some at the day of judgment, they're going to stand before the Lord guilty and have no hiding place. The Lord is going to charge them with sin, and they'll have to just acknowledge the fact that they have sinned and are sinners, and they'll have no mediator, no go-between, no one to stand in their room instead, but they'll be pronounced guilty and be sentenced to a devil's hell throughout all eternity. Now imagine what an awful place that would be. But for those whom God has justified by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, when they stand before him, and we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there'll be different judgments. But we're a judgment bound people, one way or the other. When we stand before him, we will stand before him absolutely spotless. We will not have to answer for our sin in that day. The reason is that the Lord Jesus Christ has already answered for our sins, paid the debt for our sins at Calvary, and put them away forever, and according to the will of God. Not that this is something that was done behind God's back. No, God is the author of all this, and he owns the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that's true because after the death and burial, and even the ascension, even the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he brought him up to sit at his right hand. Hebrews 10, let's begin reading it, verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Now that's speaking about our Lord's natural body. That body that he gave up to the vengeance and wrath of Almighty God on the cross at Calvary, and paid the debt of his people. But there's another body that was prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was prepared in the covenant of grace in eternity past. And that is the body of the elect, the church of God. That body that God prepared in the everlasting covenant of grace is every believer that has ever been. Let's read, we'll come back to this place, but let's read Proverbs 8, Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways before his works of old. Now in his works of old, of course he made the earth and all of the creation, but before that he prepared a spiritual body for his son in the everlasting covenant of grace. And in that he prepared that body for the Lord Jesus Christ, he said in John 14:20, I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And the head and the body are one. So that when Christ Jesus fulfilled all of the stipulations of the everlasting covenant in his death, every one of those who were given to him in eternity past fulfilled all of those stipulations at the same time that he did. Isaiah 50 verse 8 says, He is near that justifieth me. Well, what was it that condemned our Lord? It was the sin of his members. They were all laid on him, and he died under the guilt of their sin. And when he died, he paid the debt for all those sins, and God justified him in the fact, and that is seen in the fact, that he raised him from the dead and took him up to glory to sit at his right hand. Now, back to Hebrews 10, verse 9. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and in sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. It was the will of God the Father that God the Son should come into this world and give himself a sacrifice for his people. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He came into this world to save his people from their sin. He said it is finished. He got the job done. And somebody is saved. Somebody got saved. Somebody was saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who was that? It is those to whom he gives faith. The children of God. Now, it's not everyone that sees stars. And all kinds of whatever people expect. It's he that believeth. That's it. He that believeth. He, whosoever believeth in me hath everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There is nowhere in the scripture that says you have to jump over any hoop or anything like that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't do it yourself. It is God that puts faith in you that allows you to believe. He puts His Spirit in you, and the fruit of the Spirit is faith.
Yeah.
Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he saith, Sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, because under the law they could never get the job done. Neither had pleasure therein, which were offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first covenant, priesthood, high priest, that he may establish the second, by the which will, that is, by the will of God, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now people wonder, well, is my faith strong enough? Is my repentance deep enough? Am I good enough? Have I been good enough? Have I walked the walk rightly? Have I talked the talk the way I should have? In every case, you can say no. You just ain't done it. People are going to trust Jesus Christ alone, or they're going to trust themselves, one or the other. And you'll live in misery if you trust yourself.
Yeah.
Trust Jesus Christ alone for all salvation and put no confidence in the flesh. None whatsoever. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Did he offer himself to God on that cross? Yes, he did. Did he satisfy law and justice at Calvary? Yes, he certainly did. Can you add anything to it? No, you cannot. Trust him. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never put away sins. The works of man won't get it. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. They stand daily offering the same sacrifices over and over. That can never take away sin. But this man, this God man, in whom believers are, we're in him. We're of his bone and of his flesh. When he had made one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now we can believe that. He said, it is finished. And in John 17:4, he said, Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. There's nothing left for us to do. First John 3:23 says this. And this is his commandment. We're supposed to keep his commandments. And he said, this is his commandment, that ye should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Didn't say put on the act. Put on a big long face. Try to be the most sanctimonious man in town. No, just believe on his Son. And what will that happen? What will happen? Well, he'll give you a new heart. He'll put a new heart in you according to the precepts of the everlasting covenant. He'll put a new heart in you, and that new heart, on that heart will be written the law of God, and the law of God will become the law of your heart. It's the law of Christ, and what it is the law of love. You'll love the Lord Jesus Christ, His gospel, and His people. And His gospel will become your bread and water and meat and life. By grace, unqualified grace. I like that word, unqualified. Unqualified grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. God keeps His people through faith. Amen. Okay.
Uh-huh.